Kista FM ka dikubulewo la 102.9 megahertz for that very bright side of you ana go gaetsa mafa ka gangwe fela ri tahlela jalo mo Water Wednesday etse jalo ka kwa go wena ka ditebogo ke tsama sa metsi sa Midval me kirile mo go ena kere mo tsatsing leno moengo wa ka ke Karina Bosman, Managing Director wa Sustainable Solutions. Se tsantsa le ding fa mogaleng fa gore re tle go ka taboga jalo le ene re tle re utlwe jalo ka tsona tseo tsa metsi ke re le ka re re tle go buisana jalo le ene mo tsatsing la gompieno ka ga satellite monitoring of water bodies and impact thereof. Ka gangwe fela ere ke tle ke tabogele jalo ka kwa go ene. Re dira fela ka one mokgwa o laboraro se sengwe between 5:01 le 1:30 ke mo le gore re bua jalo ka Water Wednesday metsi ke bophelo. Karine Bosman, good afternoon and thanks very much for taking time talking to us. We really appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Papa Bloke, and good afternoon all the Water Wednesday listeners. And it's my absolute pleasure to talk to you about all things water.
You are welcome. Let's kick off with the big picture. Can you explain how satellite monitoring is revolutionizing the way we keep an eye of water bodies like rivers and dams, and why it's such a crucial tool for spotting potential harms early?
Papa Bloke, that's a very interesting question, and it's not a new technology used to monitor water. For many years, ever since we put aeroplanes up in the sky, and then later bigger things like satellites circling around the Earth, we take photos of the Earth, and we take photos of what we see on the Earth. And ever since like 30, 40 years ago, we started using satellite monitoring to look at things like, for example, dams. Now, if somebody builds a dam on their farm and that dam, the wall of that dam then fails, say if there's a big flood or something, a lot of water can come down and cause harm to people living downstream, flooding their houses. So satellite monitoring is used to identify potential new dams that is not properly licensed that could potentially pose a risk. And nowadays we can also use satellite photos, satellite monitoring to look at certain water quality aspects, for example. If you, if your listeners go onto a Google Maps or a Google Earth or on a website that shows you satellite imagery, you will immediately see different colors of vegetation. And we know that where there's more water, there's more vegetation, so you will clearly see a darker green. Now, that can help us to say, well, there's no river nearby, but all of a sudden here's a dark green line. That means there must be groundwater there. And something we cannot see from standing on ground, we can see from the air and then look at that. And then, for example, also things like too much nutrients in the water will cause algal growth. So instead of the water being silver on a satellite photo or being grayish, it will all of a sudden turn green. And here you can use infrared satellite photos, which will turn this color of the too much algal growth into a blue shade or a darker green shade, which will tell you then there's too much nutrients here. Let's go find the source of the nutrients. It is a very useful tool to monitor both risks as a result of flooding, safety, as well as potential pollution, as well as to identify potential sources of groundwater.
Have you mentioned the vital tool or an important tool? For our listeners who might picture satellites as just spying on space, what's the everyday chemistry or environmental science behind how these birds in the sky detect things like pollution or algal blooms in our water?
Well, there's different types of pollution. Let's talk firstly about chemical pollutions like acidic spill or acid mine drainage. something that's very acidic will kill plants, will kill the vegetation. So if you look on your satellite image and all of a sudden you don't see the vegetation, then what has caused that lack of vegetation? And then you can go and investigate and maybe find the acid mine drainage leakage. Because the acidity in acid mine drainage, now that's quite complex chemistry, but basically the rock is exposed to oxygen. The oxygen dissolves the sulfides. The sulfides react with the water, the hydrogen chemical in the water, making sulfuric acid or H2SO4, and that is then acidic and that can kill vegetation. On the other hand, the algal bloom chemistry is also quite simple. Is we eat corn, we eat millipap, we eat meat. Cows eat nutrients, plants. Now, what we eat is our nutrients. It feeds us. It makes our DNA grow. Our DNA consists mostly of those nutrients, and it makes our proteins grow. But then we don't need to use everything we eat. We produce waste. We have excrement and urine. Urine contains a huge amount of ammonia, NH3, which, when we put it into contact, turns into nitrate, NO3. Brown waste, that contains a lot of phosphates, PO4. And now these nitrates and phosphates, those are nutrients that plants love to eat. If we put it on land, like that's what we put literally on land when we fertilize our soil with CAN and NAN and urea, then our plants grow again. But because we do not have a land-based sanitation system, our wastes that we produce go into our rivers, and now those nitrates and phosphates are in the river. And now, which is the plants that love to eat those nutrients? It's algae. And therefore, we then get algal blooms, because they like those high nutrients. And we also refer to water bodies that has been affected by these high nutrients. The process is called eutrophication, which means there's an overabundance of nitrates and phosphates in a water body that can lead to algal blooms, which in turn can lead to toxic algal bloom, which you can see with the satellite image, because it's a different color than unaffected water bodies.
Once again, thanks very much for that comprehensive response. We've all heard stories of flash floods or toxic spills wreaking havoc. How does real-time satellite data help communities mitigate those risks before they turn into disasters?
Well, the satellite data is real-time. So we see every day, this is the images of yesterday, this is the images of yesterday, and we can every day look at the changes. So when there's a change coming in flood regime, you can see, oh, the water is coming, and then warn communities lower downstream to evacuate. It's the same as with the weather data. We look at weather data also from satellites, and we use that to feed in the predicted flood volumes, and that's how we have a flood warning system. And when the municipality then says, guys, evacuate, they don't just say, you know, they issue those warnings because they feel like it. They do it based on real and accurate satellite monitoring data.
Star FM 102.9 megahertz for that very brighter side of you. What a Wednesday! It is angadi tebo koko hoy. Next time we meet is Midval. Me mwenwa kake Karen Bosman, ene ile managing director kusojalo kafa sustainable solutions. Karen, looking ahead, what cutting edge advancements in satellite tech do you see coming down the pipeline that could make monitoring water bodies even more precise and proactive?
Well, we all know that the development of artificial intelligence is taking a lot of computing. It's a very strong computing power, and I see that the digitization of both sides, both the interpretation side and the dissemination of information side, we can see advancements. And in terms of currently, you need a human eye, my eyes, your eyes, and our brains are sometimes slow to look at a photo, to see this discoloration, and to then go and say this discoloration is a potential problem. Whereas if you can digitize all of that and program your artificial intelligence, large language models, to say, can you automate this interpretation in terms of the color changes? And then you automate that, so it's, number one, is much faster. And then if it reaches a certain level that passes a threshold, then you say, all right, issue the warning. So the interpretation happens quicker and the warnings come much quicker if we integrate artificial intelligence into our data interpretation from satellite monitoring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, in regions like South Africa, where water scarcity is a hot topic, how can satellite monitoring empower local governments to predict and prevent harms like drought impacts on reservoirs?
Well, I would say it goes wider beyond this drought impacts on reservoirs. You can use your satellite monitoring. Local governments can use satellite monitoring to potentially identify current groundwater resources that hasn't yet been developed. Also, again, looking at satellite imagery, discoloration, additional vegetation, and even with infrared things, there are currently satellite monitoring that even sends infrared. That's electromagnetic. It can go below the crust of the earth and potentially identify groundwater presence where it would be extremely costly to do it by foot with ground survey technology. So to both help with the identification of other water resources, but also to look at in your reservoirs, if there's a prolonged drought, your reservoir wall might start to crack and you will see changes in the shape. And that will help you then rectify to say, well, guys, that dam wall, that, like at Barberton not too long ago, there was a dam wall that wasn't properly maintained. And then when the flood came, it almost broke. But all the guys who intervened and came to stabilize it quite quickly. If we use on a local level satellite imagery, you can quicker identify and prioritize when maintenance need to happen. Also remember, drought does things like it cracks your pipes because the ground is moving, the ground is shifting because it's so dry, and then your pipes are cracking. And you can use satellite monitoring to see, oh, there's a leaking pipe because all of a sudden it's green around it, there's vegetation, so that pipe must be leaking. Let's go and fix it.
Now, Karin, imagine a farmer relying on a nearby river. How can sustainable solutions use satellite insights to help them avoid crop losses from contaminated or dwindling water suppliers?
Well, we would be able to use that to look at vegetative stress. Now, vegetative stress is if you look at the satellite image, and let's say he has big irrigation circles, and then you can see on the image, but this circle, this only half of the circle has the deep green color. That means either that nozzle that he's using over there is broken, or there's something else, maybe a seepage from something underground that prevents the crop from growing there as a result of contamination. Or if there's dwindling water supplies, one can, again, like with municipalities, identify potential alternative sources of water.
Thanks very much for that response. As climate change ramps up extreme weather, how do you envision satellite monitoring evolving for better forecast and mitigate harms like erosion or invasive species in water or bodies?
Well, we will see now, because we've been experiencing extreme weather in the last week, and because places are now wet that 50 years ago was wet, all of a sudden in, over the northwest and then the Northern Cape, rivers are flowing that hasn't flown for 50 years, and we will see vegetation start growing. Now, the first plants that will start growing are those that we call the pioneer plants. And in many cases, those are invasive species. And you can distinguish between different types of vegetation by, again, looking at color differentiation. So one would be able to distinguish to say well, here's an invasive species growth after the flooding, and therefore we need to go do specific eradication there. And also one can better look at erosion patterns and do erosion prevention because you can better see the erosion on satellite imaging.
Thanks very much once again. Star FM at 102.9 megahertz for that very brighter side of your Water Wednesday. Una jalo li papa, Blue Kukulube, Mwengwaka, ili Karine Bosman, ili Managing Director wa Sustainable Solution. Karine, what's one mind-blowing example from your work at Sustainable Solutions where satellite data attend the tide pan intended against a potential water-related crisis?
Oh, that's an interesting question. But the best example I can think of was in the Western Cape, there was a dispute between two neighboring landowners where the one landowner said, the water that comes off the mountain belongs to me and must go to this side of the farm. And the other landowner said, no, no, that water must come to my side of the farm, and it has always come to my side of the farm. Mm-hmm. You cannot divert the river to your side of the farm. Now, you know, sometimes the farmers, they never cease to amaze me. There's always arguments about water. And so what we did is we used satellite imagery, and then we went all the way back to the very first time an aerial photo was taken in the area in 1938. And we, 80 years, yes, almost 90 years. And we went back and we compared year after year after year after year up to the latest. And we could clearly see where the river was originally supposed to flow, as opposed to where this guy started changing it to come to his land and not to the original landowner where it was supposed to be going. And because I used Google Earth to do that, I don't know, you know, they collect your data, they do what you do. Then the mind-blowing part for me is I was nominated for the Hue for Good Awards because using satellite data to do good, protecting the nature reserve next to the farm and making sure the water goes to the rightful owner.
Wow. Star FM 102.9 megahertz for that very brighter side of you. For urban areas dealing with runoff and industries or rather industrial waste, how can satellite monitoring integrate with on-ground efforts to create a foolproof system for harm mitigation?
You know, there's a saying in Afrikaans, which I'll translate now, is om te meet is om te weet. Measure is to know. And if we don't know, we can't manage what we don't know. We must base our management on knowledge. We must base our knowledge on good data. So I would highly recommend that if urban areas, you want to do proper planning, you want to spend your ratepayers' money effectively, inform your decision-making with good data, because then you know, all right, the satellite image says, here's the erosion, let's send our team to that spot, which the satellite has told us, to go and fix the erosion. The satellite image told us that dam wall is, that pipeline is leaking, let's send our team out there to fix the pipeline exactly where it is leaking. So in terms of on-the-ground efforts, I think using the right data, satellite data, other data available, will not only facilitate a faster response time, but also be more cost-effective if we use the data to then inform our on-the-ground efforts.
Just in wrapping up, if our listeners want to learn more or even get involved, what's the best way to connect with CB Consultants, with Sustainable Solutions on this forward thinking program?
Well, we have a website, CBSS, that stands for Karen Bosman Sustainable Solutions. It's Karen with a C, so CBSS.co.za. And we have many resources on our website, as well as training courses that we present. We're presenting a training course now in June on water monitoring, including touching on things like satellite monitoring. And also, you know, our contact details are there. We have a little chart maker thing on there where you can put the results of a sample in and see what's the salt balance in your sample. And I would in general say is that if you are fascinated by water, there's no end to it. You literally, from communication in water, you don't have to be a chemist. It helps. But there's... for your younger listeners, there's careers in studying water underground. There's careers in studying building dams, from engineering right through to communication and public participation is space in the water sector for you.
Karen, thanks very much for having talked to us about this a very important commodity called water that we cannot live without. We really appreciate it, and we hope when we call you again to come and talk to us, you will avail yourself. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Anytime, it's only a pleasure.
Thank you. Star FM 102.9 megahertz for that very brighter side of you. Ela tlhoko gore Water Wednesday itiswa jalo kwa go wena ka ditebogo ke setlamo se sa metsi.
Midvale Water Company is a water services provider that supplies bulk clean water to the mines and the city of Matlosana Municipality. Established in 1954 as a bulk water supplier for the mines in the Vaal Reefs area, Midvale Water has grown to become a formidable player in the water sector. To this end, it has expanded with augmentation of plant areas and distribution zones to include the Greater Klerksdorp, Orkney, Stilfontein and Hartebeesfontein areas, as well as Vierfontein village in the Mokaka local municipality in the Free State. Daily, Midvale Water treats 120 megaliters of water legally drawn from the Vaal River, with 80% of the product supplied to the municipality, while the balance goes to the mining customers. Through its infrastructure, Midvale Water fills the municipal reservoirs with clean water, and the city of Matlosana distributes it to residents and other customers. Midvale Water, your partner in water services delivery. Purified excellence.
Eo e latelana ke pina gago ya mmamoratwa.